Welcome to Trent Voices, the Trent University Alumni Affairs show on Trent Radio. I'm your host, Donald Fraser of Alumni Affairs. I'm sitting backstage in the Great Hall of Champlain College for this, a special Alumni Awards episode. My guest today has vocal stylings that'll be recognizable to millions of people across the planet. That's right, the planet. Don't believe me? Well, take a listen to this piece of music. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I am pleased to welcome to Trent Voices the one, the only Lady Gaga. Wait, that's not right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm pleased to welcome to Trent Voices the one and the only Athena Reich. And Athena is the world's leading Lady Gaga impersonator and an accomplished singer, songwriter, and actress in her own right. Athena, welcome back to Trent University.
Thank you. It's amazing to be here.
Let's just get this out of the way right off the top. This is not the first time that you've been mistaken for Lady Gaga.
That's right. There was an incident where I was on the streets of New York and a paparazzi was shooting away at me.
Yeah.
I was also hired to perform at Neuhaus, which is a private club in New York, on April Fool's Day to perform and fool everybody that I was Gaga.
And did it work?
And it worked. Yes, it did. It made page six, actually, of the New York Post. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Okay, so the New York Post is one example. Lately, however, you've had a lot of buzz going on, in particular, but not limited to, a feature in Chatelaine magazine, and then you know, an ensuing media storm after that. Tell me a bit about how this media whirlwind kicked in.
I always call it like the press goddess weaves her magic, you know, she comes and she goes as she pleases like the wind. So there's always waves of press that come and go. And the Chatelaine article I got because I was featured in New York Magazine recently as a best bet as one of four impersonators to hire in Manhattan if you're hosting an Oscars party.
Okay.
So then Chatelaine picked that up and they found out I was Canadian and they ran a whole story on me about that, about my work and my life. And then City TV did a whole segment after picking up, seeing the Chatelaine article. So it was really the New York Magazine article that started that little whirlwind.
Well, and has it been a fun ride?
It's amazing. It's always like the best. It's so fun.
We're going to get to how you became Gaga in a little bit. But first, you're an accomplished artist in your own right. What's the music of Athena Reich like?
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing piano since my mom taught me when I was four. And I started singing in church when I was eight and writing songs when I was 16 and performing in Toronto, little cafes. And I started touring as a young adult. I toured all over North America, Canada, and the U.S., and I did that for a few years. So all indie, producing my own CDs, releasing them, distributing them on my own through CD Baby and iTunes and everything, and just doing shows everywhere. And, you know, I've had a great time with that.
Very cool.
And that's the music, and then the acting is something else.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you're an actress. You're currently breaking into network and specialty television. You're kind of breaking into that scene.
Yeah.
So tell me a bit about that side of your career.
Sure. Since I was a little kid, I wanted to be an actress. And I started doing professional work when I was 12 here in Toronto, TV and film. And I've been doing it pretty steadily ever since. And lately I've done some cable shows in the States, A Perfect Murder, Red Rum, a lot of reenactment detective shows and police shows, things like that, that they film in New York.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's, it's an actor's dream, isn't it? Being in New York and just that backdrop. I mean, it must make you feel like you're part of.
Yeah. I mean, I've been in New York for 16 years and it's incredibly motivating to be there. The energy, the people do not stop. Everybody's like very motivated to the point of being a workaholic, really. Mm-hmm. But it's very inspiring. And I think the coolest thing about being there is it makes you better at your craft. The competition is fierce, but the teachers there are amazing. Now they're amazing here too. Absolutely. Like I studied theater at Claude Watson in Toronto, and I mean, that education was solid, very solid. And I use it to this day. But the coaches I've had in New York are incredible as well. And I guess because it's such a large talent pool, you really learn from each other, both your peers and your coaches, and everybody's, exchanging information. And so I feel like it's a great way to work your chops. And you come back out of New York, you're like, you know what you're doing.
Nice. Yeah. You bring up education. And so I'm going to bring us back to a more educational environment, and that's your time at Trent University. Trent and Peterborough have a remarkably successful music scene for a community of its size. Produce great artists. Any given night of the week, you can go and catch live music. That's quality stuff. Tell me about what the music scene was like in Peterborough when you were at Trent.
The music scene at Trent was, I had a great time here. It was so fun. I mean, I remember more because I'm a lesbian, and I remember we had the Friends Bar.
Yeah.
It was called Friends, which is such a closeted name. Like, we're friends.
Yeah.
It's almost like calling it roommates. But I just remember hanging out there. It was so fun, though. I performed here. We used to host some music nights and do spoken word and music and like really edgy little Trent. When I came, I don't know if it's still the same. It was very political and people were always, very edgy political wise. And so I did some edgy music and poetry here and it was cool. And the Union Theater, is that still around?
No, the Union is well defunct.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of the people who were playing at the Union are still there on Hutter Street. I mean, they're still hanging out at the Only Cafe.
Yeah, the Only Cafe. That's right. That's where we used to hang out too.
So, I mean, Hutter Street is still very much alive as a kind of artistic venue.
But, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I just remember like a lot of people being very, some really edgy, feminist, queer, voices, and it's good. People just pushing boundaries.
Yeah, and I don't think that we've really lost that.
Good.
So how did your time at Trent then inform you as an artist after you left? I mean, I know that you were already steeped in music. You had a background in the Royal Conservatory when you were young, and then you went on to Concordia after you left Trent for music. But how did your time at Trent inform you as an artist?
Trent really gives you a joy for questioning and critical thinking, and that's part of why I came to Trent, because I wanted to study women's studies, native studies, and think about social issues. So it basically fueled the fire that I already had of being socially conscious. And I always apply that to my work. Now, sometimes I do some of my songs are very thought provoking and edgy and deep and push buttons. And then there's other stuff I do that, like some Gaga comedy stuff that's, it's funny, but it's still like weird and thought provoking and strange. I mean, like my latest one woman comedy show in New York was called Lady Gaga hashtag Art Birth. And I do that. Lady Gaga does a live on stage birth, and like with the audience members, we all paint a big vagina and I jump out of it. And so like, it's really like pushes the boundaries and is crazy. So it's not like it was a show about changing the world, but I definitely I'm no stranger to controversy. And I think,
I would argue that particularly in her early years as a performer, when she took on the Gaga guise and mantle, that was her raison d'être. She was pushing boundaries.
Yeah.
You know, wearing meat dresses, doing,
right.
you know, arriving in eggs, things yeah. like that. And
exactly. Now she's like being all mature and singing jazz, which is really good. It's not bad. I'm just like, she's 30 now. Good for her.
Yeah.
But like, she should keep growing. It's awesome.
Well, yeah, let's talk Gaga for a second. How did that come about?
That's this funny thing that I do that I would have never consciously done, because yes. it's almost embarrassing to be like, I impersonated a celebrity. Like, why? Who would choose that? Like, yeah. I'm an artist in my own right, and I don't worship celebrities. Like, most celebrity impersonators are obsessed with the people, and they're actually not performers. They're people yeah. who are obsessed, and they kind of learn to just make themselves look, and they sort of learn to perform like them, but they're not really trained or have any real experience besides their limited impersonation. This yeah. sounds really, everyone's going to hate me, but I'm sorry. A lot of impersonators
Black Sabbath cover bands. Yeah. We're looking at you, man.
No, actually, the cover bands are good.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the bands are good because they're musicians who go into it. That's yeah. different. I'm thinking like the impersonators who don't perform, they lip sync.
Okay, gotcha.
They lip sync. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. The lip syncers.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. So they took like one class in acting for like 3 weeks when they were 14, and they called them. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, so. But I love them. They're good people. But yeah. anyways, so I would have never gotten into this. But what happened was I actually had a publicist in New York who told me every week put out a YouTube video of a new song that comes out in top 40, just yeah. like to get new fans, bring them to your music. So I did Bad Romance when it came out.
Okay.
And then I just played it on guitar and I just sang it like me. Wasn't trying to be her. And there was such craze around Gaga. And the thing is people just started contacting me from that video. Oh my God. They wanted to hire me for their event and stuff. And they said, can you put on a wig? You look like her. You sound like her. You really sing. None of the other impersonators actually sing and they don't look like her. So I was like, okay, what's your budget? And then the budget was, you know, really good. And I was like, all right, I'll do this. And, you know, I'm always studying in New York, piano, voice, songwriting, always taking classes. And my piano teacher was like, why are you doing this? This has nothing to do with your art and everything. And I'm like, yeah, but it's like $1,500, you know? And they're like, and he's like, yeah, but like, it's going to distract you. And I'm like, I don't know. It's $1,500.
Yeah.
And so like, so I took it.
An artist has got
to
eat.
Yeah. I'm just like, I don't know. They're going to pay me to perform. So I just like did it. And I studied her music and her mm-hmm. choreography and I just put together a whole show, three costumes. It was way too much work. And then I was like, well, my girlfriend at the time said, we film it. So she filmed it. We made a reel, put it on YouTube. I was one of the first Gaga impersonators. I was the first Gaga impersonator to have a professional quality reel.
Nice.
So now whenever you Google Lady Gaga impersonator, I'm always on the first page of Google because I was one of the first with a good reel. So Google and YouTube are linked that way.
Well, I want to be fair to you because you take the impressions of Gaga and you turn it on its head and you make your own art. I mean, something like Artbirth
yeah.
is as much Athena Reich as
yeah.
it is as Gaga.
Yeah. So I was doing all these private events, corporate events, private parties.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, now let's make this into art. Let's not. And maybe that's some of the Trent influence too of like, okay, let's think about what I'm doing and, mm-hmm. and how can I turn this around and make
it. How do you subvert it?
How do I subvert this?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like I'm just impersonating. Now I was always subverting her a bit. Like I was always improvising and riffing and mocking celebrityness and mocking fame and mocking wealth
yeah.
in my performances a bit by, you know, overdoing her, making her a bit of a narcissist. Like, not that she is or isn't,
yeah.
just because that's being an impersonator is a good vehicle for that kind of thing. And she's a diva, but that nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
So she's also very humble and lovely. So, God, what was the question?
Well, it wasn't. I think it was a mutual backpacking that was going on.
Hashtag Artbirth.
Oh, yeah, Artbirth.
Oh, yeah. So that basically what happened was I was trying to get pregnant.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get pregnant, and I was talking with some friends, like, how am I going to do Gaga when I'm pregnant? And then we were talking, oh, my God, do her pregnant. What would she do if she was pregnant? I was like, she'd have a live on stage birth, of course, for all of her fans, televised on like, you know, NBC. So that's what I did. So I just started playing going to stand-up comedy clubs in New York and, you know, working on material, and then developed into a show. It developed it for 2 years, and it played at the Laurie Beachman Theater, and it was great. Got multiple extensions and Time Out Critics Pick, and it's basically like a huge interdisciplinary, like, dancers, costume changes, like painting, sculpture, like interactive audience. It's madness. And actually, that's how I got asked to perform the awards, because Lee, she saw me and came to see the show in New York and was like, oh, you got to come perform at the Alumni Awards Association.
We're almost out of time. A couple more questions. One, I just saw you doing soundcheck, and you're standing on a piano bench, and you know you're upside down, and you're whirling and you're twirling. And how does it feel to be Lady Gaga?
It's actually really freeing, and it's amazing to be her. I have a lot of respect for her. When I first started impersonating her, I didn't know anything about her. I wasn't a fan of hers because I'm more into the indie music scene. But the more I delved into her and watched her career and her performances, the more I realized she's the real thing. And that diva quality is amazing to channel on stage. When you channel that diva quality, you own the stage. And I mean, I'd done that before and everything, but it's like really fun. I'm an actress, like just as much as I'm a musician. So it's really fun to combine the two for me. It's like my own little theater show, and I get to just sing and perform, but channel a character. And it's free because I'm not myself.
Yeah.
And I'm through the guise of being Lady Gaga. So I can just be huge, ridiculous, over-the-top diva, which people find funny. And like, it's just really fun to be crazy. Like I've always been a crazy performer and really outrageous. Like I run up fire escapes and things, and I do that on my own. But like, to do it with her, I can go even further. So it's madness.
You bring up acting, you bring up theater, you bring up music, and it makes me wonder what's next for Athena.
Yeah, so I am making a series of videos, like a web series or a vlog, that's being produced by Go Magazine in New York, cool. Which is a national lesbian magazine. So they have a printed magazine, and then that goes national distribution, and then they have an online magazine. And so we're just about to launch in a couple of weeks a web series called Baby Steps that I'm directing and writing and producing, but they're producing it. And that talks about me being a single mother by choice, a lesbian, my journey to get my child through infertility. Mm-hmm. I had used IVF, an egg donor. And just what it's like to be a single mom and dating when you're single and your mom and all that stuff. So that's a big project I'm working on. Oh, I was also just in a movie that premiered at the Have a Baby.
Oh, great.
That premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival. So it's called Have a Baby. It's a documentary that follows three people going through IVF. So I'm one of them. And it also shows my Gaga show, #heartbirth. And so that's going to be getting distribution at some point very soon. So now it's in Boston. It's going to San Francisco Film Festival right now. So that's a big project that I was in. So that and the video, and then just auditioning. And I'm actually with a record label right now, Sorella Entertainment, and we're writing some new songs to release. And So that's what's going on.
I'm going to make sure that there are links to all of this online.
Thank you so much.
In the meantime, you've got to get dressed because you've got a big show coming up.
Yeah, and I got to breastfeed my baby first and then go for get a costume.
We can hear him in the background. Yeah. Phoenix, I'm sorry that pushed you off too far. Athena, thank you very much for being
here.
Oh, my God.
Thank you so much.
I look forward to sharing all of this. Come back to Trent University. Don't make it another 15 years or so.
No, yeah.
And thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Once again, I'm Donald Fraser of Alumni Affairs. This has been Trent Voices. Please tune in again next week and have a lovely day.